Just a heads up before we start. We recorded this episode Friday, August 15th, the day between the end of the Eagles' joint practices with the Browns and the preseason game between the teams Saturday, August 16th. There were two things I didn't expect to hear from Jalen Hurts at his press conference earlier this week when I asked him whether he thought winning the Super Bowl made him more confident. Unexpected thing number one, he turned the tables on me with a question of his own.
Have you ever been promoted?
Unexpected thing number two, he told me he thought I asked a good question.
It's a great question. You got me talking. It's a matter of, if I've done it before.
It was a playful exchange, the type that, if I'm being honest, I never would have expected from Hurts this time a year ago, especially with me. He hasn't always been thrilled with the stuff I ask.
When you have plays with you under center, what has that done for the offense these last few weeks?
What has it done for the offense?
Yeah, what has it done for
I'm gonna ask you.
Oh, I mean, questions for you. I mean, has it helped?
I don't know.
The offense?
I really don't know.
Jalen, what was it like when you finally led Channelville to the playoffs for the first time in over 20 years? And what did you learn about yourself playing in that first game against a really stacked Manville team?
Well, what are we getting at with this?
Just in terms of like your first kind of playoff experience, and what was it like playing in that type of environment for the first time?
Next question.
Everyone knows Hurts is a serious guy. You don't need a credential to the NovaCare complex to figure that out. For as long as he's been there, he's been even-keeled, a little introverted, never gets too high or too low, always steady, and kind of monotone. By and large, the demeanor has served him well, on and off the field. But 3 weeks into training camp, it feels like there's something different about him this year. Like a new aura, a self-assuredness that wasn't there before. So that's why, with the final question of Wednesday's press conference, I thought it was timely to ask Hurts if he felt like winning a Super Bowl changed him. What else could explain this subtle yet significant shift? He didn't deny it.
You chase a dream, and everybody's dream is to do that. And so once you know that you can, it's a matter of, you know, if I've done it before, why couldn't I do it again? And so there is definitely a sense of confidence. Those are things that you want to feed off of and build off of.
One thing we shouldn't do is confuse confidence for cockiness, not with Hurts. That's not what's happening here. In fact, it might be more of an increased sense of conviction than anything else. That win over the Chiefs, the Eagles' dominance and the role Hurts played in it, they were all validators. His approach, not just in that game, but his whole career, it worked. It all culminated with that moment.
Jalen, Super Bowl 59 MVP quarterback Jalen Hurts. How cool is this?
God is good. Yes. Better than the highs and the lows. Couldn't
be here without my team. So if anything, this year, in 2025, he's doubling down. He's laser focused, ready to put in the work, and that's a good thing. Because if the past week is any indication, the offense has some work to do. Yes, missing three All-Pros from the starting unit hasn't helped. We're talking about A.J. Brown, Landon Dickerson, and on the last day, Lane Johnson. And we're still in the early days of Kevin Petullo. Remember, he's the team's fourth offensive coordinator in four seasons. But between last Sunday's open practice at Lincoln Financial Field and this week's joint practices with the Browns, the results on offense have been mixed.
You have to have a diligent approach to it daily. It's not something that's guaranteed. Nothing is promised.
Even if his vibes are a little lighter, Hurts knows he and the Eagles' first stringers need to make the most of the next 3 weeks.
There's a willingness to just be open. I've always remained to be teachable, be open, and be coachable, and so I just want to continue to grow.
September 4th against the Cowboys is coming fast.
I've been on a journey, and that journey's still going, and it's all about winning for me and trying to experience that feeling more and more.
I'm Jeff McClain, and this is Uncovering the Birds, a production of the Philadelphia Inquirer and KOW News Radio original podcasts, with new episodes dropping every week. Coming up, I'll take you inside the all-important joint practices between the Eagles and Browns. Could this be Devontae Smith's big chance with A.J. Brown hurt?
At the end of the day, I got to go out there and still do my job.
And what do Jordan Davis and his position coach think of his progress?
Love where he's at, his energy on the field, his communication, second year in the same defense. All those things are going really, really well.
But first, we're going to address the overall state of the offense at the midway point of the preseason. Joining me is our producer, Brian Seltzer. Brian, you were in civilian mode at the open practice at the Link last Sunday. What did you see?
I'm glad you're coming in here, Jeff, ready to talk about the offense, because I am a total amateur and novice observer of these things. From what I did see in the practice on Sunday, the offense, particularly the first stringers, it did not look all that great.
Yeah, and look, we're talking about practice here, so it's not like it's the end of the world. But I would say that was probably at that point the worst practice that the offense had had. They were struggling for about a week there early in camp. I thought they looked sharp. No coincidence, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith were both practicing at that point. Devontae got hurt, and then A.J. Brown. So, you know, that will certainly affect the unit when you're going up against a Vic Fangio-type defense. Now, look, they're working on different things there. It's not like the defense is scheming for the offense or the offense is scheming for the defense. So, not the end of the world. Okay, with all those qualifiers, yeah, I mean, you know, look, it's not something to be worried about at this point, but that being said, they have a new offensive coordinator in Kevin Petullo. He's installing new things. And, you know, is it taking too long for Hurts to get used to what he wants to bring to the table there? I don't think it's any time to panic at this point. But most of the unit is as it was last year in terms of personnel. There's only going to be one new starter, and that's Tyler Steen at right guard. So you would think that, you know, this ship would be sailing to start, you know, camp. We haven't seen a lot of Saquon Barkley. It's hard really to judge what the offense is doing when you're not tackling to the ground. We all know what he can do after contact. So, look, I'm adding all these qualifiers because I don't want to go overboard here with the offense. But, you know, I think the greater concern was how they looked in the joint practice.
There's some ups, there's some downs. That's how any practice is going to go.
Okay, so let's get into that. What did you see, observe, find out during the open practices? Like, set the scene, and then let's get into some of these issues.
Yeah, well, in terms of the offense and whether there are any concerns, what I saw from the offense was, you know, them struggling for the most part. And, you know, some of that had to do with, you know, the Eagles weren't scripting plays to go up against the Browns. Some of it had to do with the fact that they were, as we mentioned earlier, that A.J. Brown wasn't there. That Landon Dickerson wasn't there because he suffered a knee injury during the open practice. Lane Johnson didn't play at all on the third day. And there's a guy over on that Browns defense that's a Hellraiser and a future Hall of Famer. And his name is Myles Garrett. And 2 years ago, he kind of blew up that practice. And the same thing happened here, especially on the second day. First day, not as much. Lane was there. Most of Jalen Hurts' completions were checked down of the short variety. That's not a big issue if you're just taking what a defense is giving you. But there are a bunch of plays that would have ended in sacks or throwaways or pressure plays in which maybe, you know, he threw it an ill-advised pass. He did it on Wednesday, an interception. I think that play might have been blown dead as a sack, but he kept the play alive and threw to Jahan Dotson late and the ball was picked off. So you had a number of those plays. Now, look, you know, Devontae Smith had his moments on Wednesday. There were a couple touchdowns. Devontae had one of them. But on the second day, you know, red zone drills, you would think you'd score a few touchdowns, and the Eagles didn't score any touchdowns. So that, you know, look, you're just standing back, you're watching the practices, and you get a sense that, you know, that the Browns defense was overwhelming them. And maybe that had to do with Jim Schwartz challenging his players and maybe having them play a little more aggressively than the Eagles offense. Big picture, is this a big concern? I don't know. The Browns probably had a little more to prove. They went 3-14 last year. The Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champions. Maybe they got a little more geared up for it than the Eagles, are just trying to figure things out and work on installing their plays and seeing what this, that, or the other thing. You know, that's how I viewed the practice, at least from that point of view of the offense, that they certainly have some things they got to work out.
I think I'm continuing to evolve and grow, continue to build about where we want to be and how we want to do things, and continue to learn from the good, the bad, and be my biggest critic like I've always been.
We opened the podcast by talking about Jalen Hurts and this vibe that might be different about him this year compared to the past. And listen, I'm not down there. I only can see the press conferences. But I've watched a lot of Jalen Hurts on the podium the past couple of years. And to me, even from the jump at the start of training camp this year, it just seemed like there was this facade or exterior that maybe was broken down a little bit, an air of assuredness about him, because, you know, in the 10th this past week, just from watching, he still seems like the same old serious guy, but a little bit more lighter. I think your interaction with him pointed to that. Where does Jalen Hurts factor into all this right now in terms of where he's at, the offense is at, and if there have been scenarios where the offense has been stubbing its toe like you've talked about, how is he dealing with all this to get the team ready for what, I know they don't want to use the word repeat, but another shot at going for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and the reason why I asked that question about, you know, confidence coming off a Super Bowl victory, I just, you know, number one, I mean, you have to feel better about yourself winning a championship. I don't think Jalen is going to revel in it very much. And apparently he didn't put his Super Bowl ring on at the ceremony, maybe purposely. But, you know, I just felt like in our interactions with him in the press conferences that, and generally that's all you get during training camp with the quarterback, I just felt more of a trusting in terms of like just opening himself and being truthful and honest about things. So that's why I asked him the question. He, you know, the response he gave was a pretty good one. And it was at the end of the press conference. And look, I don't want to make it seem like it was a big deal that I asked a question. Another reporter asked a question the week before, and he kind of didn't really give much of an answer to it. But it was clearly something that he's thought about. And as he's walking, why'd you ask me that question? You know, I got up and he was walking by and I just said, well, you know, as I just said, it was because I just felt like our interactions with us that you seemed a little more confident. And he kind of like laughed and walked off and went inside. And then I was just standing around the media tent afterwards. And then John Gannon, the Eagles PR guy, and he's basically Jalen Hurts' guy, came back to me and said, hey, Jalen said, hey, go back and tell Jeff that, you know, I don't know about confidence. There's more conviction in what I do. And so, I mean, I found it is interesting that to me that he, you know, was still thinking about that. And I think Jalen is a thoughtful guy. And maybe in the past there have been moments in these press conferences where he doesn't want to say something and his way of handling it is just to give a terse one-word answer or just no comment. And, you know, people will kind of say, oh, he's slam dunking on you. But I just think that's something, you know, he didn't feel comfortable doing that for someone who has been under the glare for a long time and has been criticized a long time for various reasons. You know, he's a little bit of a spark plug because Alabama is the biggest college program in the nation, and he got benched. And so, like, Jalen's been through a lot. I get that. So I don't know what it's like to be in his shoes. And I think that's made him very defensive. And, you know, maybe now with the Super Bowl, he doesn't feel he has to be as defensive. And I think ultimately that's a great thing. And that can transfer over onto the field. Now, as I said earlier, it hasn't really looked that great this summer, but he's going to have his ups and downs. There's going to be games where he's just not going to look good. And I think, you know, Jalen, in terms of like the getting back to the confidence thing, he just turned 27. He's still growing. He's still a young guy. He's still a young quarterback. And maybe this is just another step, you know, towards getting to the point where you're stacking these seasons, these great seasons together, and you're going to multiple Super Bowls. He's already been the two. He's already won one of them. And getting back to the ultimate question about a repeat, I don't think there's any reason to think that he can't do it again.
So if his body language, if the vibe and tone is a little bit different with you guys in the media tent, have you seen that translate on the field, his interactions and dealings with players? Any difference there where it's shown up or manifested itself?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I think Jalen, look, you know, he does engage a lot with them. There's constant back and forth. He's just not the type of guy we mentioned at the top. He's serious minded. He's not the type of guy that's just going to be out there fooling around all the time and joking. He's got a job to do, and that's how he approaches it.
I really don't know what motivates me, but I know regardless, I don't need motivation to go out here and, you know, do my job. Cause I know at the end of the day, this is something I love doing. And when I go out there, I'm always give everything I have.
In some ways, it seems silly to say, could this be the shot for someone like Devontae Smith, a player of his caliber, to shine with A.J. Brown dealing with his injury? Because look, Last we saw Devontae in a game that counted, he's making a 46-yard reception to essentially deliver the dagger against the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But could this be an opportunity for Smith to really feel empowered in the number one receiver role, depending on how long this thing is lingering with A.J. Brown? And what could that mean for Devontae? Do you think that he needs something like this? He would want this chance to kind of stand alone and show what he can do with it kind of on his shoulders in that role?
Yeah, I think if you step back and look at Devontae Smith, like, what's his story this season? And I asked him a question the other day that I asked A.J. Brown 2 weeks ago at the start of camp, because he has accomplished a lot. And in fact, probably a little more in terms of team-related success, having won a national championship with Alabama and won the Heisman, individually won the Heisman. But he hasn't, the individual accolades have kind of eluded him here in the NFL. No Pro Bowls yet, no All Pros. And some of it has to do with the fact that you got A.J. Brown ahead of you in some sense. And some of it has to do with the offense and it being more run-based at certain points, certainly last year. So the numbers are like, oh, okay, they aren't eye-popping. But anybody who watches Devontae on a regular basis knows that this guy is one of the best receivers in the NFL. And like, given the opportunity in terms of targets and being the number one guy, could be, you know, top 10. I don't know if top five is possible. Who knows? He lacks some physical attributes, certainly the attributes that A.J. Brown has. A.J. pretty much can do it all. But Devontae's darn good. I asked Aaron Moorhead, his position coach, a week ago about this. And he's like, oh, no, you know, I'm sure it definitely motivates him to be, you know, not necessarily get out of AJ's shadow, but like, you know, get recognition. I'm sure it's something that motivates him. And, you know, there have been other times when AJ Brown has been hurt and Devontae's been the number one guy. And, in fact, you know, he had a whole season here without AJ Brown, but he was a rookie, you know, so it's an interesting dynamic. They get along great. You know, I know there's been kind of attempts to kind of pit one against the other. They both got big contracts within like weeks of each other, two off seasons ago. So, you know, they're making it work at this point. But I think Devontae, you know, could be a number one on almost any other team. It just so happens to be that, you know, there's like a 1A on this team. My guess is with AJ, you know, this hamstring thing is just kind of like, I wouldn't say an excuse, but it's a reason for them just not to push playing him at this point. He's at the stage in his career, just, you know, hey, you know, why risk it?
The Landon Dickerson situation. On the one hand, it sounds like it could have been worse. Seems somewhat optimistic that he could be back in time for the September 4th regular season opener against the Dallas Cowboys. On the other hand, this is another injury for him, and it kind of jogged in my brain the thought of, could he be one of these types of players? And we see it not just in the NFL, but across all different sports, where there's so much talent there, but they just deal with issues. It could be this thing, another thing, but they're dealing with injuries consistently. Do you have that concern about Landon Dickerson now that we've seen yet another injury come up, or do you chalk it up to just more kind of like the way these things go and maybe some bad luck?
I wonder who this other athlete, local athlete you're talking about that has a lot of chronic issues.
Who's he alluding to?
Yes. Landon, quite not in that category, but a very accomplished guard, has won Pro Bowls. He's certainly been a valuable part of this team. And I think a lot of what goes on behind the scenes in leadership and culture, he's played a huge role in establishing that. So I think he'll be ready by the start of the season. If not, week two, he is as tough as they come. Last year, he played through like a broken wrist and a MCL sprain, MCL tear that he needed surgery for. This is the other knee, the left knee. But he's had ACLs and ankle surgery and stuff like that. And you just look at him, he's a gigantic man. And you're wondering, you know, with those legs and all those injuries, how much longer can he hold up? And he'd probably say forever, because he is a tough guy. But, you know, wasn't someone with the organization, maybe it was someone outside the organization, they're like, yeah, he's probably like a 7 or 8 year guy. And with Landon, you know, he does play through a lot. He played through a lot last season, but yeah, certainly concerned with him in terms of whether the the knee is a chronic problem, or any of his injuries are chronic. All right, the defense. How are things looking on that side of the ball? I'll tell you what I saw from Vic Fangio's crew during joint practices after this.
The Eagles might just be getting started, but the Phillies are about to hit the stretch run of their season. Hey there, I'm Scott Lauber. I cover the Phillies for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and just like Jeff, I've got my own podcast. It's called Phillies Extra, and you can find it at Inquirer.com, YouTube, Facebook, X, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to pods. Join me each week as I sit down with some of the biggest names in the Phillies organization. From Bryce Harper.
I'm never satisfied. Always wanting to move the needle.
To Aaron Nola.
I have to get ahead of the guys. I have to establish all my pitches for strikes.
And owner John Middleton.
It's easy to say go out and get somebody, but then you have to live with the consequences.
And dive straight into stories and trends that could ultimately decide whether the team has what it takes to do what the Eagles did last year. Bring a championship to Philadelphia. That's Phillies Extra with me, Scott Lauber. Check it out on Inquirer.com, YouTube, Spotify, Facebook, X, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to pods.
Hey, this is Brian Seltzer. I love producing Uncovering the Birds and working with Jeff, just like I love working on the other podcasts we make at KYW News Radio in Philadelphia. Each week, you got to check out the award-winning The Week in Philly. It's pretty self-explanatory. There's so much going on in a multifaceted city like Philadelphia, that we put together a pod each week that looks back and ahead with the best reporting insights and perspectives from the KYW newsroom. We've also got Gone Cold, exploring unsolved murders in the city. Gone Cold team published a powerful mini-series called Ricochet that examines all the angles of the city's gun crisis. Bridging Philly brings you stories that connect communities with stories that matter most to you, and One-on-One has great conversations with people in sports you absolutely should know more about. Give the full slate of KYW News Radio original podcasts a listen. Download the free Odyssey app. Follow KYW News Radio for Philly's best original podcasts right at your fingertips.
I'm Jeff McClain. This is Uncovering the Birds. And I'm with our producer, Brian Seltzer, recapping joint practices with the Browns.
Jeff, I feel like when people talk about defense with the Eagles during the preseason, it's all about what's happening in the secondary.
I know you guys want that answer and looking for it now. We don't have to come up with that answer for a while now. Everything's a competition. That doesn't mean we don't try to put the pieces where we think they should go as it's playing out, but we're not in as big a rush of doing that as you guys are, I guess to say.
Can you give us our latest status check update on what's going on at corner and safety?
Yeah, my practice observations, every day it feels like I'm writing about what's going on there, and not much is happening in terms of movement and who's going to be in the starter. Look, I don't think the Eagles are going to make this decision in plain sight. It's not going to happen until practices are closed. So that being said, what can I gauge from what I've seen on the field? At safety, I feel like things are really trending towards Sidney Brown winning that job. And for several reasons. One, he hasn't really performed that poorly. He's made plays here and there, but he's really been around the ball a fair amount this last week. And in the Browns practice on Thursday, another team not wearing the same uniform, he was able to kind of level a guy, one of their tight ends out of bounds, knocked him on the ground. But if Sidney can step into those shoes and bring that, I think they'll be fine if he gives up a play here or there. Now, his main competition is probably Andrew Mukuba, who the Eagles drafted in the second round. But Mukuba suffered an early shoulder injury in camp. And for a rookie to lose a week of time, it may not sound like a lot, but it is a lot. And I think what we've seen over these last several days is less of Mukuba. He's gotten some reps with the first team, not much. The one sign that really that told me that maybe this is going in the one direction is when special teams worked on kick return. Sidney Brown, normally involved in special teams, wasn't out there. He was on a separate field with Reed Blankenship, the other starting safety, talking with the safeties coach, Joe Casper. But that was just one little sign that maybe I thought suggested that maybe this is going in one direction. We'll see. There's a couple more games to be played in the preseason. I imagine both will play in them in this competition. If we transition to cornerback, there's a little more uncertainty there, I think, because no one's really kind of went out there and grabbed the job. And right now, it's the primary combatants are Adoree Jackson, a veteran. The Eagles brought in this past offseason, and Kelee Ringo, former fourth-round pick. They're not going to be strong at that position if they're staying with these two guys. I think, but you're not going to be strong at every position. Every team in the NFL is going to have weak spots. My guess is that next week we'll see Kelee up back with the ones. Now, it's not like the job is strictly between those two. The Eagles went out and traded for Jacorian Bennett, a former Raider who has some starts in his career, young guy in his third season. He's gotten reps here occasionally with the first team. It's been up and down. Learning a new scheme, you'd imagine that he'd have some hiccups there, here and there. I'm not sure if they're going to trust him with that job. Rookie Mac McWilliams has actually gotten some first-team reps. I like what I've seen out of him. I thought he had a really good performance in the first preseason game. And one thing to consider, and I've seen the Eagles do this before, like not show us anything during training camp, and then all of a sudden the season starts, and oh my, where did this come from? This guy's in here, or this is happening in terms of what they run schematically, is Vic Fangio said before the start of training camp that Cooper DeJean would at some point play outside cornerback because they want to have him out there for every snap. Now, to do that, they've had him at safety in the base personnel and then move him down the slot corner. Maybe Cooper is out there more than just base defense if they move him eventually to outside cornerback, because we have not seen him at outside during all of camp. And that kind of surprises me. Now, I don't know if that's where he ultimately ends up or if that's where he is best, but it wouldn't surprise me that they feel like these other two guys aren't good enough, or anyone else in the roster isn't good enough right now. Hey, well, why don't we just move Cooper DeJean there? And maybe in base, but maybe even all the time. And you have some other candidates that can play that slot cornerback spot. I think Mac McWilliams, they've tried there. I think he could do it. I'm not sure if that Kelee or Adoree could do it. Maybe Adoree more than Kelee. But just something to consider. And if it happens, you can say you heard it here first.
I love it. And yes, this is the fun part about the preseason and training camp. Because, you know, I mean, Nick Sirianni has said on multiple occasions when he's been asked about whatever it is at these press conferences, like, I hear your question, but not going to get into that. Because, right, why would he? He doesn't want to tip his hand. They're getting ready for a season, not just any season, another possible Super Bowl run. But I like that. I like that intrigue. I like that tease and that possibility.
There we go.
One of the guys I wanted to ask you about on the defense, and this is something that just made an impression upon me going to the open practice based on his sheer size physically. And I know there's been talk about him getting in shape and losing weight, but Jordan Davis.
I think, you know, obviously with the weight loss and everything, it will make me a better player.
Yeah.
And so whatever I could do to become a better player, I mean, obviously, like, they're going to put their better player out there.
He is a big, big man, and the Eagles are going to need him in a big, big role this year. Where is he at this point in training camp?
He's at 330 pounds, which was 26 pounds less than what he was before he started losing all that weight. And it's a good thing. And you can see it at times, not only in the pass rush moves, but just like later in practice, you see him making plays that maybe last year you didn't. I always made a point of watching Jordan when the defense completes a set, they would sprint down the field. This is last year. And he'd maybe do the first one, but then by the second or third, he was like tailing off like 5 yards after the run and get hit in the sideline. And you could tell with Jordan when he's huffing and puffing, he's got his hands on his hip probably more than other guys. But look, this is a freak in terms of size, athleticism. To validate that first round draft pick, they trade up for him. They picked up his fifth year option, which will pay him over $10 million for next season. To validate all that, he's got to contribute more on passing downs. And last year, they started to do that a little bit. And then by the bye, as we talked about this a lot, Vic Fangio looked at his roster and said, changes have to be made. We need to change things in terms of personnel. And Jordan Davis was one of the guys that was a victim of that. And he saw his playing time drastically decrease to the point where he was only playing about a quarter of the time. But then I asked Clint Hurt, Eagles defensive line coach, about that the other day. And he said it was, you know, playing time. Like it was, you know, hey, you know, this is affecting me. I'm not getting on the field as much as I feel like I should be getting on the field. What do I need to do to make sure I can give myself the best opportunity to do that? So there must have been a gut check time, according to Clint Hurt, for Jordan Davis. Now, I asked Jordan that question myself and said, hey, Clint, it said this about you. And he kind of didn't really agree with it a little bit, just said it was kind of more of a personal thing for me. I felt like I needed to do it. Yeah, sure. I wasn't getting on the field as much. But I think there's got to be some truth to what Clint had said. And hey, you know, it doesn't matter what the reason is. He did it. So next week, just a heads up, we're not going to have a new episode of Uncovering the Birds. Instead, we're going to wait until the following week and get into all the roster cuts and subsequent moves Howie Roseman and the Eagles make to get the roster to a regular season ready 53. This has been Uncovering the Birds, a production of the Philadelphia Inquirer and KYW News Radio original podcast. Our producer is KYW News Radio's Brian Seltzer. Tom Rickert is KYW News Radio's director of podcasting. The executive producer from the Philadelphia Inquirer is Renee Eiffel. Special thanks to Sports Radio 94 WIP. If you're enjoying Uncovering the Birds, please give us a rating and a review. Listen to Uncovering the Birds free on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, or go to inquirer.com/podcasts. I'm Jeff McLean. You can follow me on X, Blue Sky, or Threads at Jeff_McLean, or search for my name on any social media platform. Thanks for listening.